This man is Roger Ellis. He's been one of the fathers of the New Church movement for many years now. Is that
second generation, really? But
one of the second generations. To me, you're one of the fathers.
Exactly. Well, that's nice, isn't it? You graduate, don't you? If you get older, you sort of go up or down the scale, whichever way you look at it.
Roger is one of the founding members of Fusion. And also, which I think is super cool, 24/7 prayer came out of Roger's church when he was the leader. I'm sure you've done much more than that, but those are the kind of the two biggies which kind of I know you for, appreciate you for.
Thank you.
So it's really good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. Had a really fun day. Had one or two options around what to do today, so I sort of laid out the choice. I like to do the kind of multi-choice thing, and we kind of ended up hearing God, which could be a worse place to be, couldn't it, really? And I've been sort of, I've been a Christian over 30 years, so kind of heard God a few times, starting with a really cataclysmic experience of salvation. That's really one of those all or nothing experiences when suddenly your whole life is turned upside down, which is great, and all sorts of other stuff in between. But particularly over the last few months, just really enjoying hearing God. Well, yeah, the last few years, really enjoying hearing God, the discipline, the joy, the delight of hearing God's voice and hearing God speak to me on an ongoing daily basis. So I just wanted to share that, some of that stuff, with you today. It's really not rocket science, which is great. I mean, when we look at Scripture, the whole of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is really about the desire and the passion and the heart of God to reveal himself to humanity. And so the whole of the Bible is God's revelation. It's the word literally means unveiling. It's God's revealing of himself. And right through Scripture, we see that God goes to incredible lengths to reveal himself, to speak to people throughout all ages in the strangest situations. And when we look at the Genesis account, the narrative right at the beginning, we see that it hasn't always been so hit and miss or different or through a mirror dimly in terms of hearing God. We see it in the beginning that Adam and Eve walked in the garden and God himself walked in the garden through the cool of the day. Now, whether you see that as allegorical or poetic or whatever you see it, there is this framework where Adam and Eve speak to God as I would speak here like this. We'd look in the face. There's you know, very little room for misunderstanding. We see each other, we hear each other, we speak. There was this incredible dynamic before things went wrong, before sin came into the world, before selfishness came into the world, before humanity somehow was alienated from God. Human beings were these hyper-evolved, spiritual, psychic beings who could communicate directly to God. As I would communicate to my wife, my friend, whatever, face to face, really clear, no fracture. And that is absolutely amazing. And you see that right from the creation story, God has this propensity to reveal himself in human form. So straight away in Genesis, throughout the Old Testament, there's all these pre-incarnate revelations of Jesus. And then obviously the pinnacle is in the incarnation. And we look forward to this time in the future when heaven comes to us or we go to be with the Lord, where there will be no dim mirror. Paul talks about, doesn't he, in the New Testament, about now we see through a mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. So kind of when we pray, God speaks, but sometimes it's a little bit obtuse. How do we learn to hear more of God and to understand what God is saying to us? Because the whole thrust of the Old Testament, I love the Jeremiah 31 prophecy, where it basically says, look, you know, no more will someone talk to their, you know, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. And that's part of the promise, isn't it, of when we come to Christ, that we will know God even as we are known. And so there is this process of learning to hear God. And actually, we do learn how to hear God. I love the whole Samuel episode in 1 Samuel 3 with Samuel and Eli. You know, Samuel had a miraculous birth. He was kind of set apart, kind of for God. Many of you here, all of us here, because we're here. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us and set us apart. So we're set apart to one degree or another. But do you know what? It doesn't matter whether you are going to be the great prophet Samuel or not, one of the greatest leaders Israel ever knew. Even he had to start somewhere. And you have this hilarious story where Eli, who was not such a good teacher, but, you know, you can't win them all, you know, but even with a duff teacher, you can still learn to hear the Lord. You know, so you've got this situation where the young Samuel, you know, he goes to bed at night and then he's lying there asleep and he hears this voice. He thinks, great, must be Eli. So he runs in, wakes Eli up and says, you know, Eli, I'm here. And Eli goes, I didn't say anything, you twit. Go back to bed, you idiot. So anyway, he goes back to bed, does it again. And this happens three times. Now, Eli's not the sharpest prophet or, you know, priest in the toolbox, you know. And you can see that by the state of his sons. But eventually, even Eli realized, ha-ha, something's going on here. So he says to Samuel, look, next time you hear the voice say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So the next time it happens to the young boy, that's what he says. I mean, what I like about it, I think it's verse 18. You know, God says to him, I'm going to tell you something that when you share it, the ears of all those who hear it are going to tingle. You know, this is going to be hot information. And so when God speaks to us, sometimes our ears tingle. You know, and sometimes he says some really exciting, dynamic, and challenging stuff. And so God speaks. We need to learn how to hear. And we all of us have different styles of how we perceive things. And we all have different sets of head noise. And we all have different things that are flowing through our bodies and our minds that make us doubt situations and whether we can really hear God or whether we're worthy and all of that. So basically, to hear God, we have to get all that. This, I could use the crap word out the way, you know, because it's just get it out the way and realize that God wants to speak. It's what he does. He loves us. He wants to lead us. He wants us to guide us. He wants to be confident of who we are in him. And so let's set about learning. And there's always more we can learn. So how does God speak? Well, God speaks through creation. That's a place called Brandyhole Copse, near north of Chichester. And you walk along there, and there is these amazing trees. They're huge, absolutely monstrous great things. And they're right on the edge of this sort of like ravine thing that's been carved out. But it hasn't discouraged them at all. Their roots have just gone. So these roots just go down and down and down and down and down. And these trees have been there for I don't know how long. They're really, really ancient trees. And that could speak, couldn't it? You know, it could say so many things. And later we'll have a go at seeing what that might say to you, to this church, to the person sitting next to you. God speaks through creation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. The great scientist Francis Bacon said, you know, basically we've got two books. We have the book of nature, or the book of creation, and we have the book of the word of God. Both of them are incredibly instructive. Both of them reveal something about the heart of God. And a couple of years ago, I was going through a bit of a change. I'd handed over the leadership of Revelation to Dan Slatter, who's doing a great job. I'd handed over the leadership of Fusion to Rich. We'd moved house. My dad had moved in with us. He was in his 90s. He had 1 or 2 years to live. Quite serious cancer. I was moving him in. So it's a bit of a transition time. You know, if I'd have had time, I might have had a midlife crisis. But, you know, it's just one of those things. And around that time, I thought, well, why not get some spiritual direction? Now, basically, spiritual direction is a complete swindle. No, it's not. It's wonderful. But because You see, at least the coach, all the spiritual director says is, what's God saying? What's God saying? You know, you see, every what's God saying? They're not interested in giving you any shape or input or whatever. It's really frustrated, you know, frustrating. What's God saying? You know, and they just teach you how to hear God. And this guy said, well, look, Roger, you know, the thing is, you're an activist. You're not going to sit around in a vacuum. So he said, how can you hear God whilst you go about your day? And he gave me a few tools. And I remember after about the second session, any of you know, we have a fish farm and a lake, sort of, which we, it's part of my business as well. And I came round the corner in our garden, and I saw the plum tree, which was, oh, God, this fruit is so heavy, I don't know what to do. Literally, this tree was talking to me. You know, it was in agony. The branches were right over. There's massive plums everywhere. This whole thing, it was like it was crying out. You know, I'm thinking, please ripen fruit, quick, that poor tree's in pain. And God just said to me, well, do you know what? This is why some people don't want to be fruitful. Because, you know, being fruitful and being productive is really painful. It's really hard work. Some people would rather stay in winter than have the pain of summer. I thought, oh, there's a word for you. Very, very interesting. Paul says in Romans 1 verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The creation itself, the beauty of nature, you know, Margaret loves watching Attenborough, you know, and the Galapagos of this and this, that, and whales that, and fish that, you know, that actually creation itself is in a sense, you know, God's great decoration. That, you know, this thing didn't come about by accident. This thing is in great detail. It's intimately designed. It kind of works. There's some signs of dysfunction every now and then. There's all sorts of weird things going on. We've messed with nature a lot, but still, when you look at the real core of nature, you see much about God's created order. And Paul looks at the moral situation in Romans, and basically says, look, people are without excuse, because if you look at nature, you look at creation, you can see how God's order works, you can see what's right, you can see how things are ordered. God speaks clearly in those kind of ways. So, creation. So let's get ourselves connected. The problem is we've concreted everything over, and we've become so distant from nature, we've become distant from food, we've become distant from the earth, we've become distant, supply chains have got us further and further and further away, and yet our roots, particularly as Christians in the UK, are right back in the Celtic movement. It's that spirituality that is engaged with creation. And, you know, you've only got to go through the earth, the whole thing of Sabbath. So it's all linked with the earth, it's all linked with rest, it's all linked, all of that kind of stuff. So it's kind of getting us back to nature, which sounds ominous, doesn't it, really? But you know what I mean. So how else does God speak? God speaks through the Bible. I kind of like this. What does that say to you? It says to me, a life with God lived, a Bible that's been thumbed to death, familiarity with God's word, nice wedding ring there, covenant, God's covenant. You could dine out on that, couldn't you? What's the Lord saying to you now through that image, through that framework? And God speaks through his word, through scripture. The psalmist in Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And scripture is like, it's like our Google. You know, what light bulb do I get? Go to Google. You know, how do I plant a tree? Go to Google. What time of year do I plant blueberry? Go to Google. What shop's got to go to Google? Go to Google all the time, don't we? And scripture is kind of like our Google. It's kind of like our encyclopedia. It's kind of like our thesaurus. You know, it's kind of like the more we're kind of soaked in the Bible, the more we understand of the Bible, it's kind of like we're giving God a little bit more raw material. Do you know what I mean? Because if God wants to say something to us, And where's and he's, you know, he's not got a lot. If all we know is that, you know, a few films and a couple of things, and we've read a couple of books at school, and you know, a couple of slushy romance novels. When God speaks to us, you know, he's not going to work very much on, you know, what's his name, 50 Shades of Grey. Is it really? The Holy Spirit's not got a lot of work on in there, you know. But actually, you know, if we've got plenty of scripture hanging around in there, God's got a lot to choose from, hasn't he? You know, because there's already something that's built up within us. And so if you aspire to hear God's word and speak God's word, and particularly to be prophetic, the more of God's word that there is inside you, more scripture there is inside you, you've got this kind of reservoir to speak out from. So God uses his word and speaks through his word. It's an absolute key. And so let's enjoy the Bible. I know you've had a session on that. I'm not going to speak too much on that. But scripture is an amazing... Is it coming or is it being? Next week is starting our series on the Bible. Hey, come on. And how incredibly exciting scripture is. You know, and there's all sorts of stuff out there. You know, it's well worth, you know... If you're reading a different bit of scripture, just a difficult bit of scripture, find someone who's got a commentary on it. Just look at that one little verse there. You know, when you get inspired by the Holy Spirit, get your concordance out and you think, oh, God's saying something to me about calling. You think, calling. So you know, you open the Bible and it's got, oh, there, everywhere calling is in the Bible. And then you start reading the first three and it's like a treasure trove. You think, calling, oh, I quite like that one. And that Abraham broke was called. Well, where does Abraham turn out? Blimey, he's not just in the Old Testament, he's in the New Testament. What do they say about him in the New Testament? God, look what they say about him in Romans. And suddenly you're off on this treasure trail. And God is speaking to you through scripture. And that's the way it is. Exciting. So, creation, scripture, Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit likes the Bible a lot as well. You know, again, you know, he likes to work with that material. A bit of an old friend, the Word of God. Word and Spirit right at the beginning of creation. You know, Word of Spirit right there in the incarnation of Jesus. Word and Spirit, Word of Spirit, Word of Spirit. So, you know, they kind of like each other. But I like that. You know, Holy Spirit could be fire, couldn't it? Could be oil, could be a dove. Definitely not a pigeon, dove. There's all sorts of imagery. Apologies to the graphic designers amongst you for my appalling keynotes. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 14, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So it doesn't matter whether you're 4, 44 or 84, We've all got the same material. We've got the Bible, we've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's commitment is to remind us and to lead us into all truth. So being comfortable, being filled with the Holy Spirit, flowing with the Holy Spirit, realizing that God's Spirit is upon us and with us at all times, that he goes before us, that he's already always there, he never leaves us nor forsake us, that God is revealing himself and speaking to us is really, really useful. Because the Holy Spirit is about speaking to us and he will remind us. He will also, Acts 13:2 says that, you know, while the church leaders were praying, the Holy Spirit popped into the room and said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas and send them off, will you please? And so the Holy Spirit is all about giving directions and promptings. Sometimes God wants to direct you and prompt you. He doesn't want you to sit, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, seek and you will find. I'll see how much they want to hear me. I'll go and hide. It's a bit like hide and seek. Like a friend of mine used to walk his dog, his Labrador, you know how friendly Labradors are, and he used to play, when the dog wasn't looking, he'd go and hide behind the tree, and then you'd watch his Labrador, where's he gone? He's running around panicking, you know. But of course, Labradors have got rather good noses, so they soon sniffed him out. But sometimes God kind of does that. He'll, you know, I'll just disappear for a little while and see how much they want to seek. Because it is the seek and you will find principle. And so there's that hunger. You know, those that hunger will be filled. That's incredible sense of that. But so the Holy Spirit prompts and gives us directions. I remember I was at a conference recently, and it was when things were breaking out in terms of, you know, people were getting into groups to pray. And I was past my sell-by date. You know, there hadn't been enough interesting activity in the meeting, so I was in the boredom zone. You know, I was thinking about which bait I was going to order when I got home, and you know, which spot I was going to fish on the lake. You know, and people were getting into groups, and I said, "Oh, well, okay, Lord. Well, look, I'm available." And the moment I said that, I looked to the left, and there was this couple in the corner, obviously married, having a little sort of intimate prayer time together. I thought, they don't want to get involved in all that. Goodness knows what they're praying about. But it's a couple that are from Manenberg in South Africa, and they lead a 24/7 community there. It's the second largest murder capital in the world. There are more murders per whatever there than anywhere else in the world, apart from one other place. And I just felt God say to me, go over and join in. Which I thought, okay, you know. So anyway, I went over there and sat down. And he says, well, what are you praying about? And he said, well, actually, I've got this mysterious, you know, stomach problem that you know, I can't eat, I can't finish the food, it's a digestion, it's this, it's that. And I just, he was describing post-traumatic stress disorder to me, which I know nothing about, other than my wife is a shrinky-dinky counsellor. And so she's a, do you like a shrinky-dinky? I mean, yeah. But anyway, she hates it when I call her shrinky-dinky. But, you know, there you go. You can't be too reverent about these things. And she's an expert in trauma. So she has described PTSD to me on numerous occasions, what it works, how it outworks. And how, you know. So I just said to her, look, you know, they said, well, could you pray? I said, no, I think it'd be a complete and utter waste of time. I said, because I think you've got PTSD, and I think what you need is a lunchtime appointment with my wife and a few hot tips from Shrinkdom, you know. So, they literally had 2 hours together. She taught him some techniques, how to deal with adrenaline, how to deal with all the stuff they've seen, how to take, whatever, and set a path towards him recovering. Now, it was just a prompting. Go over and be nosy. You know, I thought I was going to be involved with praying, but really God was using me to be the link in the chain to get them introduced to Margaret. So just listen to those little promptings. You don't have to wade in with a 47,000 Alistair Bullen prophecy or something. Do you know what I mean? This thing's really so simple. Mind you, if you had Al with you, it would be a lot simpler, wouldn't it? Because you could sit back and think about fishing and let him go and solve the problem. But that wouldn't be the learning activity, would it? You know, that wouldn't help. So God speaks through his Holy Spirit. And lastly, but not least, people. There we go. Alistair and Sandra are there praying for Margaret and I when we handed the church over to Dan. God uses people. So we have creation, and we have God's word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have people. And sometimes God chooses really annoying people as well. Deliberately, the people that we are most annoyed having speak to us. Why is that? Well, because if God spoke to you, you'd be an idiot not to listen, wouldn't you? But if God sends that jerk to speak to you, not only do you have to listen, you have to be humble as well, and you have this discipleship thing that goes on at the same time. Ooh, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? But that's the way God uses us in community and in the body. And sometimes we also need some arms and legs. We need a hug. We need someone to speak, someone who's in front of us. And so God uses people to speak to us, and he also uses you to speak to people. Paul says, you know, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one that they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Simple. And so we are the ones that God has given good news, speaks to us, and we go out. I love the story in Acts 19, where God rocks up to Ananias and says, you know that guy Saul? Do I? You know, he's blind at the moment. I've just nailed him. I just want you to pop round and lay hands on him so that he can see again, because I'm going to use him to meet the Gentiles. Ananias says, do you know what he's like? You know, God said, yes, I think I do. But, you know, there's this kind of argument going on, you know, because basically Ananias thinks, you know, I am committing, you're asking me to commit suicide by going and pray for this complete lunatic. I suppose the only thing, good thing is that he's blind at the moment, so he might not be able to recognize me afterwards. So in the end, they have this argument, and Ananias goes around, and Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And God gives us his messages so that people can see again and can receive the gifts of the Holy, or receive the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely wonderful. So that's a simple thing, isn't it? Creation, Word, Holy Spirit, people. Now, how do we perceive God's Word? How, we're all different, aren't we? We all hear in a different way. And, you know, my I have a text tone for my wife when she communicates to me on the phone. It's... you know, quit the rallying call, you know, quick, Margaret speaking, get moving. And I find it amusing. She finds it mainly amusing. There's one or two other ringtones that I've got for her as well that she doesn't particularly like, but there you go. You've got to wind them up a little bit, you know. And so, but we all respond to different things. And so we perceive in different ways. Some of us, I hope, yes, hearing. That is a way. Some of us, that's Amberley Castle, really nice hotel. Look at that. Look at that archway. It just come. It sucks you through, doesn't it, that archway? Come through there. The first time I saw it, you know, behold, I set before you an open door that no one can shut. That's what I heard the moment I saw that. And sometimes we mainly hear, don't we? When Paul... had his zappity-dappity experience, affectionately called his conversion. He heard God's voice, but the others around him didn't hear the voice. They heard this kind of commotion, but he heard the voice. And often God, very rarely God speaks with an audible voice, but often God will speak to you through a voice. Now, part of growing in God is learning to have the unhealthy voices inside us kind of stilled a little bit. You know, if there's voices of insecurity or we're a little bit paranoid, that doesn't really mix with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like allowing some of these voices to be stilled, fears and all of that, so that God can come and speak things to us, and then being confident, beginning to act on that. And then the more you act on it, the more you realize it was the Lord. So you learn to go on, to go. So some of you will hear that sort of still small voice inside with God speaking to you. Again, I was at another situation and I really felt God speak to me audibly, internally, that, you know, God was going to raise up Paul's in the Middle Eastern context, and actually that the road to Damascus was already set and Ananias was already in place and it had already happened and we should just sit back and watch. And, you know, that's what I heard very clearly. When I went to give the word, I got far more than I bargained for in terms of then what happened to me. But it was very clear. It was very, very, very clear. And since then, there have been some interesting stuff on YouTube with the sort of ISIS people on for 3 hours talking about their conversion and saying they felt like Paul on the Damascus Road and all sorts of stuff. So there's obviously some strange things happening. So, you know, when we hear God speak, it's well worth acting on it. So what do you hear? So some of us are hearers. Seeing. What do you see? I love that. That's Barcelona. You know, most people see the fruit, they don't see the scales. But depending on when you look, you can say a different thing at a different time, can't it? But it's a very much sight. What do you see? Often in the Old Testament, prophets are called seers. What do we see? What is it we see in a situation. You know, you're walking along the road, you see someone sitting there. What do you see? What do you see in that person's eyes? What do you see in the way they're behaving? What do you notice about what is happening around? And if you start noticing and reflecting, contemplating on that with the Lord, look at that, Lord. What's all that about? Not long before your seeing produces something that God is saying and God is speaking to you. And, you know, a lot of the time I think we walk around with our eyes shut, don't we? We're rushing from one place to another. Why don't we take God with us? He's already with us and he's gone before. He's sitting at the coffee shop with his feet up waiting. But it'd be nice to go there with him, wouldn't it? Having a little bit of a conversation on the way every now and then. Even if you're listening to your favourite music. See, what's God saying to you with those lyrics? Seeing, what do you see? Feeling. My favourite photo of my wife. evokes a feeling. That's her inner cheeky coming out. I think she's being provoked by Chloe, our daughter. What do you feel? You know, so much of... you know, some of us, we're afraid of our feelings and, you know, we're afraid of being out of control and we might struggle a little bit to be filled and to really flow with the Spirit if that's the case. Other of us, you know, our feelings are a little bit, you know, so we're also a little bit, you know, worried about it all. But, you know, there's so much about God that is feelings, isn't it? Jesus wept, Jesus got angry, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. You know, you can't have love without a feeling, can you? Or joy without a feeling, or peace. They're feelings. And so... so what do you feel? You know, sometimes you see something and you just feel. What is it? What are you saying? I feel a bit disturbed by this. Or there's something not right here. Or this makes me feel good. Or when I look at that person, I kind of feel this sense of love and pleasure. What's all that about? Well, it's probably God saying, I'd like you to go and tell that person how I feel about them. And because that's often how God speaks. And I'm not a very feelingy, you know, I'm not the sort of person that you know, I don't cry watching Bambi. Or, you know, I mean, even when my father was critically, there were some moments when I did cry, but I'm not one of these, you know, it just doesn't work for me that way. I'm just not like I am. I mean, my Margaret, again, thinks I would be more useful if I did. You know, that's another counselling session, I'm sure, in the future. But, you know, but when I get out the front and I read Scripture, I can find myself crying easily because God is so awesomely, wonderfully overwhelming. In a good way. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, oh, I'd love to be overwhelmed by God. And others of you are thinking, not lightly, I don't fancy being overwhelmed by anybody, even the Lord. But do you know what? It's a great place to get to if you can. Just allow, because God is so far beyond. You know, God's love is so far beyond our ability to contain or even know or articulate that love. It's so far beyond it. You know, that's why we end up with tongues and all that, you know, because God is overwhelming in a really positive way. It's unbelievably, awesomely, wonderfully gobsmacking. And sometimes a word is not possible. You can't even see it. You can't think it. You just kind of, your feelings somehow get you near what God is saying and speaking. So feeling is a really, really good one, really useful one. And the last one before we get doing some stuff. Oops, a daisy, we've missed it. Oh, quick, get back. Thinking. So, oh, we've gone back to feeling again. Maybe the Lord's talking about feeling. No, hearing, seeing, feeling, thinking. It's amazing. This was an amazing experience. One of Margaret's bucket lists was the Grand Canyon, so we went to the Grand Canyon and had the misfortune of landing in Las Vegas for 2 days, you know, which is basically a city built on the firm foundations of, you know, drugs, prostitution, gambling, fine dining and top sports and media events. apart from that, it's not got a lot going for it. But there we go. And so there we were in our hotel on the first morning there, 9:30 in the morning, in the background there. All the gambling wheels are going full pelt. People are on their first drinks. You know, they're all sort of, you know, it's right next to the reception. And there is this guy playing the piano. And there are hundreds and hundreds of people going in both directions, just going past him. You know, just like a stream of people. You know, some going to gamble, some leaving the gambling. Some going to their rooms, some leaving their rooms. Some going to breakfast. And meanwhile, he is playing the most sublime music on the piano. I'm, you know, Margaret, get me out of here. I need to get out of this hotel. But what? I don't know why. I don't know where I was going to go because the whole place was just, you know, exactly the same. So she said, let's sit down and listen to the music. So we sat down and we listened to the music. I can't remember what piece he was playing. It's absolutely beautiful. And then he played another piece. And it was stunning. It was, you know. So we applauded at the end. And he said, at last, somebody's listening. And, you know, I sat there and I thought about that, and then I really felt the Lord say to me, I'm playing beautiful music all the time, but nobody listens. But when somebody listens, the joy that fills my heart. Well, I was like, woo, that was enough for me for the whole day. You know, I could cope with all the other cobblers that was around all the place. Because I was just thinking about God speaking a beautiful voice, waiting for those to listen. Sometimes we need to think about what we see. But some of us are more thinkers, aren't we? We see something, we think about it. You know, we're not really feeling, you know, okay, fine, well, that'll come later. But we need to think. And we're not sticking with our, we're thinking. We think about the concepts. What does this say? What does this mean? And as we begin to think and reflect, so some of us are more instant, aren't we? We hear God instantly, we're quite impulsive. Others of us, we just like to, you know, but some of the, you know, Margaret put a chili in the oven this morning. By the slow cooker. By the time I get back this evening, it will be stunning. It's had a day to brew. So some of you thinkers, don't worry that you're a bit slower out of the blocks than some of the other guys. Because by the time you finish brewing, it'll be pretty good. So having said that, you're not going to have a lot of time with some of the group work we do in a minute. So you better speed up. So hearing, seeing, feeling, thinking. So, I want us to have some fun doing this. So what we're going to do, the first bit we're going to do individually. And I might ask Andy to play the guitar, if he wouldn't mind. And I want us to focus on these three images. And To reflect a little bit, I'll get out of the way. To reflect, you know, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you feel? What do you think? And to begin to ask the question, what is God saying something to me? Is God speaking to this church? Is God speaking to a section of the church? What is it that God would say through these images? So thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And we've heard a lot of words, and we just want to reflect on you right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Pick an image. Dream a little bit. Listen, look, feel, think. So, any takers? So a time just different people share.
I was just looking at the picture with the trees, and to me, I was feeling that as humans, our roots are very superficial, like the trees, and we need God with us to make our roots really hold in to our lives and to the world. And looking at the sky beyond the trees, that to me was, we know God is there. We can't see him or touch him, but he's right there for us to see.
As I was growing up, I lived in a 14th century barn, and we used to have a door like that, and it was a prison door. Well, it wasn't in my house, but apparently it was originally a prison door. And I've just been meditating on what it is to be free, and just thinking, you know, it's for freedom that Christ has made us free, and thinking, do I really live as though I'm free, or do, you know, the grind of getting up on a Monday and doing what you have to do make me feel not free? And just thinking, actually, you know, Jesus wants me to be free and all that means.
Yes, the three together spoke to me. And it is saying, I have come into your soul because you have opened the door from the inside. And this has enabled you to lay my axe to the root of the natural soul and be filled with the fruit of my spirit.
Thank you. Good. Okay, over here. Lots of different stuff.
Looking at the roots, once upon a time those roots were covered with soil, but the soil is eroded away. And when we get into God and when we sort of seek to go further with him and input into people's lives, that's painful, and those roots are exposed, and that seems painful, and we can choose to embrace that pain and God work through it in us and through others, or not. And actually through God working in us and us feeding on him and waiting on him and resting and receiving, he is the nutrients and the soil that will recover those roots and deal with the pain in the way that God does, root first, onion, layer by layer by layer, so that we're healed and restored.
For me, I thought I could see a link between all three pictures, starting with the roots, which look like a bit of a tangle, and maybe people's lives are a bit of a tangle. And then I felt if they step through the doorway into the light, the fullness of God's provision awaits them in his creation.
That's great. Put the whole three together. Woohoo! And the one round here. Come on.
I'm looking at the roots as well, and you don't often see roots exposed like that. And I think that for us as a congregation, that's what God wants. He wants for our roots to be exposed, because our roots are kingdom values, and our kingdom values need to be seen. And we mustn't underestimate how important and how different we are with godly values, what an impact we can have. And he wants those roots to be seen more and more, the roots of who we are, the foundation of, you know, love and kindness and compassion, generosity. Marlo needs to see that and needs to know what we're rooted in.
Very good. Excellent.
Hi. So it's kind of all three of them together. So as a church, we're a door, which is open to the world out there. And the roots, just like she said, they should be seen. And as a church, they should be strong at the core. And then just like a tree, fruitful at the edges. So that's one of the fruits there.
Amazing. You know, you go out to walk your dog. You know, you come back, you know, with a sort of whole list of stuff God has said to you. You only went to walk the stupid dog. You come back, you got unbelievable. Okay, well, how are we doing time-wise? Are we all right? Yeah, okay, all right. I don't want to go on too long, obviously. Now, we're going to do one more thing. Before we do that, I'd like to encourage you to try something in your small group, which might work quite well. You know, when we meditate as Christians, it's not to empty our minds. It's to actually fill ourselves with who God is and with Christ. And we did quite a fun thing last week where it's great at the moment because it's still dark. So if you meet in the evening, so we turned the light off and we just lit a candle, a big candle in the middle. And Margaret encouraged us just to focus on the light. And as you focus on the light, to think of Jesus and all that Jesus means to you. And then when you get all the thoughts that are coming up and clashing, rather than going, oh, I'm terrible when I'm trying to meditate and I'm thinking about the hoovering, you know, instead of doing that, just keep looking at the, not that I'm normally tormented by the Hoover too much. The Hoover is the nemesis of my Labrador, by the way. She doesn't like it. But when you're looking at the light, just, and you get a competing thought, just let it fall into the background and just keep focusing on the light. Just keep focusing on the light and keep thinking of Jesus, and do that for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long you can manage it, you know. And then afterwards, ask everybody what God has said to them. I mean, we did it last week. It was absolutely unbelievable. One or two of the guys said, this is a real life-changing scenario. Some of the things that Jesus said to me at that moment, when I just stilled myself and just used the flame. You can think of the Holy Spirit, God's purity, but really focusing on Jesus and see how God speaks. So have a go at that in your small group, and you know, don't burn your parents' house down or something if you're doing it with a few of your mates while they're out. But you know, anyway, back to tonight. So lovely psalm, one of my favourite psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Now, sometimes if you're like reflecting on a passage of scripture, it's the Ignatian thing. They take a passage of scripture, they read it over and over and over for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, a week, month, you know, and they let it keep speaking to them. We haven't got that time tonight, but so you can read the whole thing and just keep soaking on it, or you might go, the law of the Lord, Lord, you know, or you know, you might think trustworthy, or you might think joy. Yeah, there might be one word that will hit you. And so just read this through. It might be the thrust, it might be a thought, it might be one word. Ask yourself the same questions. What do you hear? And what we're going to do is we're going to have just 2 or 3 minutes doing that, and then we're going to get in groups of 2 to 4. And you don't have to share if you don't want to. You can always enjoy what other people have got to say for themselves. So some of us like speaking more than others. And so just feel comfortable in sharing whatever you want to share or not share. So we're just going to spend 2 or 3 minutes. What do we hear? What do we see? What do we feel? What do we think? And then we'll get into groups of 2 to 4. And we'll share it quickly. And maybe we'll pray together or pray for one another, depending what happens. Is that okay? Okay, let's have a go. Okay, let's mingle around. 2s to 4s. You can move your chairs if you like. Don't hang about. And let's share whatever we've perceived together. And pray for each other if you'd like to. Or if you would like prayer, if you're sitting there thinking, do you know what? God has said something to me this evening and I'd like prayer. Why don't you ask for prayer? Let's do that. Right, off we go.